Hello, everyone, and welcome to So What Happens Next. My name is Thomas.
I'm Amber.
I'm Cayman.
And this week, we are back to form for the most part. We're done with our mob movies for at least for now.
I'm mobbed out.
Yeah, I know. thank God. and we are moving on to apparently a big deal movie from 2020, and that is Promising Young Woman. All right. Amber, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm a little tired, you know, with finals week, hell week.
You make me miss Patrick. He always seemed tired.
thanks.
Well, you've got this. You're going to kick its ass. And I'm sure myself, all of our listeners, and our guests are rooting for you. Cayman, how's it going, man? Welcome back to the show.
Oh, I'm great. I'm just trying to dedicate as much energy as I can to rooting for Amber.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta focus. I need the energy. I just need to suck, like, energy.
You just spirit bomb it.
What's going on? He's just standing there with his hands up.
Wait a second. He's using the spirit
bomb! The spirit, what's it now?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Everybody put your hands in the air right now.
God, Cam's I wish it. I could spirit bomb my instructor.
Do you think like it's an automatic pass if you like all team up and spirit and bomb him, or like do you think the college will just fail you? You should try it either way.
You know, I think they would pass us because like how are they going to find another instructor within like a week?
I think the university was founded long enough ago to where if it was like you defeated your professor in like trial by combat style shit, then like you get an A or
that's
at least like a
we
passing
should
grade.
Do all our finals.
I think it should just be like an option.
Yeah, like
do
not
you
required.
Take the test or do you want to fight your teacher?
Right. You can, yeah, exactly. You can take a test or write a paper, whatever, or you can fight your professor and whoever wins, you know, but that's a deal. That's the real definition of pass fail, gang.
Yeah.
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 So.
And I just took anatomy, so I know where it hurts and kills.
Ooh. Got an assassin over here across from me tonight.
I demand a trial by combat.
And then, of course, we have our other guest in the room, Allie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well.
So, as you guys have probably caught on, Allie wasn't able to quite make the first half of this recording, but was able to make the second. So she left us some notes. She gave her own like side recording. That's why it might sound a little weird a little bit later in the episode when you hear it. But, you know, she was the one who suggested this film. We didn't want to leave her out. And, you know, as it turns out, she really enjoyed it. So she has some amazing thoughts in the second half of the episode. So stay tuned for that. And yeah. You know, so forgive the little chopped up nature, perhaps, of this first part. But hey, it's worth the wait. Trust me. Thanks for hanging in there, guys. That's great to hear.
Look, the Allie impressions can only come in short bursts. All
it's
you know.
Okay. It's okay. Well, we are happy that both of you guys could make it back for at least one or two more big green runs. But more about that later. Let's talk about Promising Young Woman. As is standard form on So What Happens Next, if you're just joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you on board, and we hope you will listen to more episodes from us in the future. And if you want to go back in time, feel free to check out our website, swhn19.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. But, like I said, standard form. I scrounge the internet, hunting down five very surface-level things that will hopefully not spoil this movie, at least for myself if I haven't heard it, and I provide them to my lovely wife Amber, and any guests in the room, like my lovely guest Cayman and Allie.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
And our job is basically to take those five things and develop a plot for a movie that we've never seen, or at least most of us haven't seen. And this week, like I said, Promising Young Woman. And we'll get to those five things now. So, are you guys prepared?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's dive into the five things for Promising Young Woman. And the first thing is, number one, this is a flip the script revenge movie, as I like to call it. From my understanding, from seeing some early trailers when this movie was coming out, and just the general deal with the title and whatnot, this is one of those, looks like it's kind of a woman taking advantage of the men type situation. So take that as you will. Number two, this is Emerald Fennell's, the director of this film, her first full-length directorial film. The only thing I could find on IMDb was a short film credit from 2018, which of course leads into number three, is that this won Oscar for Best Original Screenplay. So this woman came out of The Crown. She played the married woman that Charles was into. Shit, I didn't watch enough of The Crown. Yeah, that's her. Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Oh.
So free number six on
that
one.
The one that plays, what's her face that everyone hates now?
Yes, that one.
Yeah.
The like counter to Princess Diana.
Yeah.
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 That's her.
Oh my gosh.
This is her like, I guess full length directorial.
That's
debut.
Crazy.
And okay. In her first shot, she won Best Original Screenplay, which she also has a writing credit for this movie as well. So it's not like she just kind of was like, I'm going to do this really good movie and win an Oscar. She like wrote it. So I guess I'm going to do a really good movie and win this Oscar. Number four is that this movie stars one Carrie Mulligan of Doctor Who and The Great Gatsby fame, among a plethora of other films and stuff, I imagine.
Drive.
She is in Drive. That's right. A previous episode, Drive.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. One of the best posters I've ever made. And she is joined by none other than comedian Bo Burnham.
Which I don't know who that is.
He...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
His most recent deal is he has a comedy special on Netflix called Inside that recently came out. At least at the timing of this episode. He actually started on like YouTube. He was just like doing skit musical videos and then like blew up after a couple comedy specials.
No clue.
Well, whatever. He also directed a film that got a lot of renown that I don't remember what it was called.
I forget the name of it, but right? I think it was like, it was following middle schoolers. Apparently it was very touching, but I didn't watch
it. Yeah. Yeah, it was Eighth Grade. That's the film. It was called Eighth Grade.
Okay, I thought it was about eighth graders. I couldn't remember if that was the title, though.
No, your middle school thing jogged my memory. I always conflate that with like Jonah Hill's director thing, mid-90s, and I always think they're the same because they came out like the same time and I think took place in the same period of time, if I remember. I don't know. I've never seen them, but apparently it was like a big deal in the indie verse.
Apparently not much of a big deal.
In the rest of the world?
Since I didn't hear about it.
Wow. Connoisseur Amber over here. If she doesn't know about it, it must not exist.
If an item does not appear in our records, it does not exist.
And number five is that IMDb lists this film as a crime drama thriller. So there's a little bit of context for where your plots can go. I will admit this one was a little hard to pull five things out of without potentially spoiling the movie really hard. So I'm not sure if that means this film has a, I don't know, superficial plot, if there's actually something there. I guess it won Best Original Screenplay, so we'll find out why. But, Amber.
Yes, Thomas.
Let us start with you. What are you making out of those five things for Promising Young Woman?
So I think this movie is going to be about a woman
mm-hmm.
who takes advantage of men
mm-hmm. via and promises.
I think something happens to where she starts doing this, whether or not she was sexually assaulted or something like that, to where it kind of like changed her perception on things. Just taking into account of what's been going on in recent years with women, to where, you know, they are like raped or like sexually assaulted, and, you know, they go to the authorities, they do exactly what they need to do. And a lot of the times it's like, oh, you're just lying about it to basically like ruin someone's reputation, which unfortunately always seems to happen to be these like rich white men. So I think that's where we're kind of heading with this movie, is just like somebody who takes matters into their own hands and kind of becomes this sort of like vigilante for like women.
So like a Batman lady.
Yes, like a Batman lady. But without all the cool gear and...
Hey, you don't know that.
This isn't a car.
This isn't a car.
Seriously?
The movie opens where she like gets Bo Burnham and just, he's like, where are we going? And she's just like, this isn't a car. And they fly away.
But that's what I think the movie is going to be about.
So how do you think this movie is going to ultimately end then in your vigilante plot? Do you think she's going to get caught and have the book thrown at her? You think she's going to get away with it? You think she's going to be a hero, a villain, or, you know, the Dark Knight?
I think she's going to get caught. And just because, like, if this is supposed to be, like, you know, a crime drama thriller, like, you can expect that something big is, like, going to happen. That's just going to, like, you know, blow the viewer's mind.
Right.
And possibly end in, like, an unexpected way. So maybe with her being caught, but then her being let go as a result of, like, you know, things that happened to her in the past. So I'm not quite sure, but that's what I'm guessing.
Okay. Oh, so you think it's going to come full circle?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Interesante.
Yeah. Or maybe she's just going to get lesser charges because the irony is that she is a woman.
Oh, shit. What a fucking commentary that would be. The, like, whole, well, you're a lady, so we'll go easy on you.
Yeah.
Like, that would be, I'm actually, like, low-key kind of hoping that's it, just to make that statement. Like, that's pretty dope. It's solid stuff. How do you think it's going to be, like, a shaky kind of it? So, like, going back to number two here, where we have Emerald Fennell's, like, first, you know, full feature-length film, as far as director goes, like, do you think this is going to be, like, super stylistic? Do you think it's going to be, like, fresh and new? Or do you think it's going to be, like, pretty paint by numbers? Because I feel like some directors, is like, they come on the scene, they want to make a statement. And then others, it's like, no, I got to make, this is going to be my safe bet. Like, I don't want to make a movie that's, like, ruins my career before it even gets started, you know?
I think it's going to say a lot. And I think that's why it won an Oscar.
Mm. Okay.
So I don't think this director is going to play it safe, so to speak. I think there's going to be, again, like, a lot of commentary that we can possibly, like, talk about after watching the film.
Yeah, I'm starting to think this episode might be a back-end heavy one just from all the stuff this is going to throw out there.
I'm kind of, like, thinking back to, like, Moonlight and movies like that. It's probably going to be a little bit heavy or on the heavy side.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Cayman, what are your thoughts, sir, about Promising Young Woman, given the five things that I've listed here? And, of course, you feel free to use Amber's discussion as a springboard for anything you desire.
Yeah, I anticipate that she's hit the nail on the head of like a flip on the revenge movie type script. You know, it makes me think of the last, like, super, like, revenge movie I saw was, what was it? Was it Law Abiding Citizen? Did you watch that?
Fuck, I saw that years ago. That movie's nuts.
Yeah, it my memory was just jogged of that recently. So, like, maybe, like, a post-Me Too movement Law Abiding Citizen, but, like, with better taste. That's my anticipation. Yeah.
Law-abiding citizen was the one with Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx, right?
Yeah, and it was super brutal.
Right, it was like unnecessarily brutal.
It was. That movie came out in like 2007. I've seen it like
totally.
I saw it like over a decade ago.
I think I saw it around 2007, and we were like just floored by the whole thing as children. We were like, "Whoa, it's so hardcore!" And now I look back on it and cringe.
Yeah, I was describing it to Allie today, and I was like, "Man, I don't think I should have been watching that whenever I did." So I anticipate maybe a little bit like that, but more tasteful and more feminist. I don't know anything about Emerald Fennell, but if it has an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay, that's really awesome. I anticipate like kind of what you guys are saying. I'm gonna like tack on to that. Like, I think this is gonna be like a pretty heavy movie. I have no idea what the tone of it is. I guess as far as the directing, like, I've seen only a couple shots from it, but it looks like a little bit colorful, a little bit like grungy at the same time. I don't know, okay. Maybe way off base. As far as the actors in it, I saw Carey Mulligan in The Great Gatsby, but I saw The Great Gatsby. I like more remember reading The Great Gatsby than I remember watching it. I watched it when I was recovering from surgery, so I was in a weird headspace. So like I remember Leo, and that was about it. Anyway, that's not very helpful.
I fucking hate the book The Great Gatsby, so I just skipped that movie all straight up. It had stellar cast, and I was like, no.
For what it's, I didn't love the movie. Since I'm also speaking for Allie, I guess I should pipe up and say that she thinks that movie is great. I'm pretty sure, but I don't know. Didn't do it for me. Mm. I'm really interested to see Bo Burnham in a serious role. Right. So it seems weird because I've seen him in just being exceedingly goofy so often, but I anticipate he'll do a good job, and here's why. You know, in order to be an effective comedian or an effective musician, it requires something that's really core to being an effective actor, in my opinion, which is a great sense of empathy, of like knowing what you're putting out and how it will be received, is like understanding other people's feelings. So, and that, and like a lot of his commentary, even through his goofiness, is like really, really good. So I anticipate that he actually does a good job in this. I'm excited to see him doing something very different.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've heard about his new, like the new comedy special. I've been meaning to watch it. Like, I watched his other ones, and like I think the guy is that kind of, he's always been that kind of like edgy funny. Where it's like, maybe if you watch like his older shit now, you kind of cringe a little bit. But like, from what I've heard, like his new special is like, you could barely call it a comedy special. Like, it's more of like this crazy like one man show that is dealing with like depression, especially onset depression due to like the pandemic and being locked inside and shit like that. Wow. So yeah, no. So I was like, whoa. I kind of like, you know, before I was like, I'll watch this when I have time. It's just a comedy special. But now I'm like, oh, I kind of want to like make time to give it a shot. So yeah.
I hadn't planned on watching it, but that kind of like sells me over. Like, I've seen enough of goofy Bo Burnham to have really enjoyed him, but I've spent enough time with him. But if he's getting into new stuff, that I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if like this is kind of like that springboard into it. Like, he had that directorial debut, and then he kind of does this. You know, like, he's actually getting into like doing, you know, more than just what is essentially elongated YouTube bits. On stage, which is dope. Like, I like seeing people's careers go there. I really like the point you made about like musicians and comedians and stuff, because I feel like there's like an inherent kind of like darkness to doing, especially comedy, is like, you know, I think Robin Williams or somebody had some kind of quote where it's like one of the main reasons that like comedians are funny is because they feel like shit all the time and they don't want other people to feel like shit, so they do humor. And it's like, that's interesting. And I feel like if this movie is as dark as you guys think it is, then like, it's not, you know, he'll do a good job because he's probably been to those places, at least in some way, shape, or form. Though, I think that's the one subject I gotta disagree with you guys on. I think this is gonna be a dark movie, but I think it's gonna be like a borderline black comedy. Like, dark as fuck, but like, in light of itself, if that makes sense. Like, if you think of like, you know, other dark comedies where it's like, I don't know, I can think of one off the top of my head, but, you know, like a darkly funny movie. And I think that's what this is going to be. And I don't know why, but I feel like Carey Mulligan is a funny person. And I at first I was like, oh yeah, because she was funny in Then I stopped, and I was like, she's not really funny in Doctor Who. Never saw Great Gatsby, but I didn't hear anything about her making jokes. She definitely wasn't funny in Drive. She was just really sad. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know why I think this, but I feel like she's one of those people that, like, low-key is super fucking funny, and, like, it's going to show in this movie. And then, like, I think Bo Burnham's going to play the... I think, perhaps ironically, Bo Burnham's going to play the straight man. Like, he's going to be just, like, blissfully unaware of anything that's going on up until, like, maybe halfway through. And I think he's going to become, like, to use Amber's vigilante deal, like...
Or maybe he's the perpetrator.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, I was going to say he becomes, like, her man in the chair, but maybe not. Oh, so you think he's the bad guy?
Possibly.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's just a guess. But
well, that's what we're all about here, just guessing things, at least for this part of the show.
Maybe he is so blissfully unaware. Because, again, it could be, like, one of those scenarios where it's just like, oh, I didn't realize what I did, like.
Oh, yeah. Wait, do you mean raping people's bad? What? That would have seen, there's that dark comedy. There you go.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, if I can chime in. I'll make one plot prediction. I don't know very much about this, but going along with the vigilante thing, if I had to take a shot in the dark, it'd be that Carey Mulligan's character dies. I think that's like a thread you see in a lot of, like, vigilante or revenge things, because you'll see this character that starts off very sympathetic go to more and more extreme ends, become more evil to a point where, like the justice you'd see of it would be, like, either they go to jail, or if they, like, want to be sympathetic and, like, go out with a bang, like, they can't just return to their normal old life after you know, big revenge spree. So I think maybe it'll give us a satisfying ending involving her death. And maybe I'm wrong. That's, like, that's my total shot in the dark.
You just nailed my predictions for Handmaid's Tale too. So I don't know. that is in a nutshell how I feel about the characters in there. Just because it's the only logical way it can go, but I don't know. I think it would be kind of crazy if she died, or if she was dead all along. But
I don't think it's that crazy.
I don't think it's that.
That's a little too much.
Bo Burnham is just the guardian angel who's trying to help her get to heaven, but she's so pent up with revenge that he has to facilitate this, so she gets revenge on all the dudes that fucked her over, and then boom, she gets into heaven by
it's
the end.
It's like Soul, but non-Disney.
Exactly. It's like if Soul and Sixth Sense had a baby.
Oh my god, I'd watch that so hard.
I see unborn people. No, that's great stuff. It's a really great stuff. Allie, what do you think is going to happen in this film?
Revenge movies are not really my thing, but I fucking love this premise. I love the idea of a woman getting revenge on... I mean, I feel like it's every woman's fantasy to get revenge on, like, a man who hurt them or a man who, like, harmed them. It, like, in that way, it feels like it's just kind of like a... when I was in college, for context, I was an illustration major, and me and my friends joked about, like, making a comic where, like, this group of, like a girl gang or something got, like, they would go and, like, kill men that, like, raped people, or, like, men, like, did shitty things to women, and we're like, yeah, I'm so fucking cool, like, so it kind of feels like that, and I really like it. Number two. The only thing I know about Emerald Fennell is that I've recently been watching The Crown, and she played Camilla.
God, I hate Camilla.
That's the only season of The Crown I've seen. So I don't know.
I've had the pleasure of not seeing any of it.
It's not bad. It was actually, like, pretty, like, oh, damn, this is, like, drama. But, I mean,
some of the stuff was fucked up, but, like, we didn't know.
But then everything happened for real, and, like, they're like, oh, the, like, Crown people are racist. And I'm like, you know, it's just not, exciting anymore.
Yeah, I whatever. You could not pay me to give a fuck about English royalty.
Oh fuck no, man.
Like we divorced them for a fucking reason. I don't even like the rich people here. Why would I fuck with like the rich colonialists?
Not even
somewhere
just like,
else.
Just like rich people here. These are like people who are rich for no other reason besides they just decided they should be rich. Like it's not even like Jeff Bezos who like I'm gonna make a company and like treat people like garbage so that I can steal all the money and be rich or whatever you want to call it. They're like, oh my, God chose me to be queen or something. Pay me.
Yeah, absolutely. fucking parasites to society. It's a bad example to we shouldn't even tolerate it.
Yep. No.
Oh, Oscar for best original screenplay. Yeah, I mean, I knew I wanted to see this movie the minute I saw the trailer, but then when it got Oscar recognition, I was like, oh, now I really have to see this movie. Number four. So I love Carrie Mulligan. I saw her first in Doctor Who, and she was great. And then she's in The Great Gatsby and Drive, and I really liked her in those. And she was in a bunch of other things. But I feel like she kind of plays, a lot of times she plays sort of like a coy, like, I don't know, shy, like demure kind of character. And I'm excited to see her in like a badass, like fuck you kind of way. Oh, and Bo Burnham's cool. I don't really know what to think of him about this, but we'll see. Crime drama thriller. Those are probably my three favorite movie genres, so it hits all the points for me. I kind of feel like, I don't know if anybody has seen the movie Hard Candy. I kind of feel like it might be similar to that, but then I also kind of feel like it might be, we might get that like self-indulgent revenge on men kind of feel, but then it might kind of like come back to bite her in the ass. It's something, I mean, something's gonna go wrong. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited.
Okay. Well, in that case, is everybody ready to go and get our dark, gritty revenge crime drama thriller movie on?
Yeah, but I don't know how gritty it's going to be.
I think it's going... Have you guys... I don't want to go too far off the rails here, but have you guys seen trailers for Last Night in Soho?
No.
No.
It's Edgar Wright's new movie coming out in like Halloween. It's like a horror movie, but it has a very similar aesthetic to this. Like that like mono... I don't want to call it... like I don't know what to call it. It's like monochrome, but like mm-hmm. each shot is a different color. So like, you know, like a lot of pinks, a lot of blues, a lot of that kind of stuff. Like lighting the entire frame with one solid color. And I feel like that is this movie as well, aesthetically. But I could totally be wrong. I only remember like a couple shots of the trailer. So I don't... It's been a while. This movie came out like over a year.
It's been a while.
Since I could hold my head
up high. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you know.
It's okay. But
I can't help it.
It's there. Oh, you should have heard our Faith of the Heart problem. Anyway, so if you guys will just give us a few moments of your time while we go and spend I think this movie was clocked in at like roughly the same as Easter Promises, actually. Something like an hour 45, something to that effect.
Nice.
Exactly. Of our time, as we go ahead and go watch Promising Young Woman. And we are back. I gotta say, guys, this one gave me a lot to chew on here. I have some mixed thoughts, and I hope some of them aren't too spicy for the room. But let's get a feel for what everybody else thinks. Amber, Promising Young Woman. We just spent almost 2 hours watching this film. Thoughts?
It was what I expected, and then there were some things that I did not expect. So, judging from when we first talked about the film, I kind of knew there were going to be some, like, you know, feminism, like, qualities to it, and especially with stuff, like, from the Me Too movement, so there were going to be, there was going to be a lot of topics on, like, you know, rape and, like, sexual assault and things like that, and so those, to me, are obviously, like, very familiar as a woman. But yeah, like when we were talking about how we thought that this film was going to be more violent,
yeah,
I assumed it was going to be like that. Like you were going to have like the vigilante, you know, female character that basically just takes revenge on everyone that's done her harm. Right. But in reality, it was just a bunch of random creeps, incels that she actually like psychologically like fucked with, which was totally fine because they like deserved it. But it never went super far until, like, the very end of the film when she was actually going to do something, like, bodily harm.
Right.
And that was to someone who totally deserved it. But, yeah, it just kind of sort of ended in a tragedy for me because it was, like, you know, we'll probably talk more about it, but it was just the result of losing two, you know, two lives, one that occurred, like, before, like, the start of the movie and then towards the end.
Right. Yeah, I mean, on your note about it not being the violent vigilante film we thought it was, I have to say I'm really disappointed that it wasn't. Like, I think this movie, I still think this movie could have been so fucking cool if they almost went to like a, I don't want to say absurdist degree, but just like, I was really like amped for her to be literally killing these like, you know, pieces of shit guys. And, like, it wasn't. And it just felt so... The more I think about this, and me reflecting on it, but the more I think about it, the more I'm like, is that really... Like, I don't know. It just didn't feel satisfying. Like,
yeah, because I felt like they didn't get what they deserved, I guess. Right. And because we had gone through, you know, all of those different checkpoints of, like, okay, they reported it to the school. The school did nothing. They, you know, got a lawyer involved. Lawyer basically did nothing.
Right.
Basically no one did nothing in that situation, which is not uncommon. It's like, it's sad, but it's kind of just like, they really don't do anything. But yeah, I just like felt like, especially at the end, I felt like it was almost like, oh, good for them. They won, you know? And it wasn't till the very end I was like, okay, finally someone is doing something. But that was the result of like a murder and not necessarily the sexual assault which had occurred like previously.
Right.
Yeah, it was only because like, you know, the antagonist of the story basically killed someone that it probably, they just probably rolled in that sexual assault into like one big sentence.
Right.
And that's kind of like, I felt like nobody really won, like, everybody lost in this case.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get... This movie is... Every time I think about it, I'm like, it's so much more complex. And I feel like it wants you to take it on a rather simple level. And maybe that's a flaw with it, but we'll talk more about that in a minute. Allie, what were your thoughts on this movie?
Oh, boy. All right. So I have a lot of thoughts.
Let's keep them broad strokes for the start of this, and we'll definitely get into them.
Yeah, definitely. First of all, I guess I want to say, like, this movie hit in a really, like, a really vulnerable and really, like, upsetting place for me. And so, okay. Whereas, Thomas, you were touching on how you were disappointed that it wasn't that, like, hardcore violent revenge thriller that we were expecting. And that was initially, that was kind of my reaction, too. I was like, I just wanted them, like, these guys to, like, fucking get what was coming to them, and, like, I wanted it to be, like, that satisfying thing. But the more I thought about it, I actually really like that that's not what we got, because,
I mean,
that's not what happens in life. Like, it's always, like, women get fucking assaulted and raped and... Nobody does shit about it, and people don't believe. Like, this movie was very real to something like that would really happen. Right, all of these things would really happen, And I think that it made us really look at the reality of the culture that we live in. And I think to have given us that satisfying revenge thriller where she just fucks them all up and that's the end of it, I think that kind of would have been doing a disservice to women who have actually experienced rape and assault, because it's right. If that were to be the case, like, it would let us kind of revel in that revenge, but it wouldn't force us to look directly at what's really going on in the world. And I like, the more I reflected on that, I actually really like that.
Those are really good points. It's making me think about my opinion of this and how I kind of like, because my grand scheme idea of like the revenge film, right, was that it was almost like a, it's hard not to go like Count of Monte Cristo with it, right? Like, okay, I had this horrible thing happen to me, so I'm going to fuck everyone over. And to me, like, and we will talk about his character later, but Bo Burnham was to me going to be like that, I don't want to say conscience, but like that possible out. And this movie kind of presents him like that for a bit and then changes its mind halfway through, well, or so, which Amber, you called that when they introduced him. And I agree with you. Like when the minute he's like, yeah, I still hang out with all of our friends, quote unquote, from med school. I'm like, oh man, he's going to suck. I want to like him, but he's going to suck. And I guess it just kind of struck me as like, oh, this is going to do the whole revenge, like you won, but at what cost type thing. And at the same time, I feel like I agree with you, like that would have done a disservice to the what this movie's trying to do. And like, I keep like racking my brain, like, is there a way that could possibly work? Because I think this movie does present quite a few things that can be pulled out of it. And some of them I found sort of contradictory, at least until the end when it decided what it was going to do. And it was like, this is how this movie is going to end. And I was like, okay, I kind of wish you didn't do some of the things before or framed it differently. Because I also have to mention, I'm not trying to rag on this movie. I agree with you, Allie. Like, it hit me really deep. Like, it kind of disturbed me a little bit, like, just watching it. Mm-hmm. Not like a whole, oh my God, this is every man's worst nightmare type bullshit. But, like, this was a very real, like, thing that, like, is a problem in our society. And it was, like, a lot to just digest that this happens. But it was, like, the rest of the time, I have to admit, like, I just did not care for the cinematography of this movie. I cared for individual shots, but the overall cinematography of this movie bothered me a lot, and we'll get into why in a few minutes. But Cayman, what were your thoughts on this movie?
So I'll definitely, due to the overall themes of this movie, defer to Ali and Amber much more so than to my own opinions. But this movie was counter to my expectations. It was much more nuanced. It had like much deeper criticisms of society than like any like revenge thriller may have had, and it was overall like a rather bleak and gut-wrenching movie. There was really no any clear-cut victories, like any moment of like, oh yes, like had immediately preceding or after it like something absolutely terrible. But I thought the story of it was beautiful. It was like fantastical enough with some of its characters to be really interesting, but also like really grounded in reality, and like real issues that women experience. Yeah. To my understanding, I'm not a woman, but you know, I overall really, even though it was like an upsetting movie, I very much enjoyed it. And to counter one of your spicy takes, I thought the cinematography was awesome. I thought the movie was beautiful.
I'm going to defend myself when we get to it, but
okay.
I just want to say I like, there are shots in this movie that on their own are great, but I found this movie to be a hodgepodge of different styles that did not fit together very well.
Okay. Well, one other thing I'll comment for us to maybe come back to, I thought the soundtrack was really interesting.
Loved the soundtrack.
There's a lot of good music, and I pretty quickly noticed it seemed like it was all female artists.
It was.
Yeah. And the soundtrack actually was the reason that Carey Mulligan did this film, apparently.
Hmm.
The director kept asking her, and she kept snubbing the lead role, and the director sent her, this is the playlist I have for this soundtrack, which featured Toxic by Britney Spears twice.
Yeah.
And apparently that Carey Mulligan listened to it and was like, okay, I'm in.
Like, okay. Since I feel like the soundtrack isn't the meat of this, I'll go ahead and get it out of the way. I thought it was excellent. I love that Toxic was in there twice in that final rendition of it. The really creepy, dissonant, classical version of everything. Drawn out, heavy, smeary glissando from high, shrieky violins. Like, deep, punctuating cello and bass. Absolute chef kiss of an arrangement.
Totally agree.
I love it. I thought that was... There were a lot of great soundtrack moments and overall set the tone well, but that was... That final descent into musical madness was perfectly, it was set up to perfectly precede the final chaotic chapter of it.
I agree. I when that musical cue hit, I looked at Amber and I was like, are we getting Toxic right now? And she's like, I don't know. And then you just hear that, and I was like, there it is.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Love it. Yeah. So. Those are my broad strokes thoughts on it. I enjoyed it. Much more emotional nuance than I expected it. Mm. I like the cinematography. I thought the soundtrack was amazing. I thought the actors all delivered excellent performances.
Oh, the acting in this was fantastic. I think it was beautiful. But Amber, if you don't mind, can you tell us what the hell this movie was about?
Yeah, so this movie kind of starts off right off the bat with Carey Mulligan's character. And she's this med school dropout that works at this coffee shop, kind of like at a shitty job. And she lives with her parents, of course, which we see them like, you know, every so often, like in the same setting, just sitting at a dining table.
Mr. fucking Krabs is the dad. And that bugged the shit out of me.
I didn't even know that.
No yes,
oh my God, that was Mr. Krabs.
He's also, if you ever watch the old Justice League cartoons, he's Lex Luthor. But every time he'd say lines, I would just sort of sit there and be like,
oh, man.
Oh, wait, my God.
Did you know that going in, or did you pick it up and be like, this guy sounded kind of Krabsy?
I knew who he was, and I knew what he looked like. And then when he came on screen, I was like, that's fucking Mr. Krabs. And Amber was like, what? And we were like, yeah. And then, like, there.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Glad I didn't know that, honestly.
I know. It took me out of it for a little bit.
You are out of here.
So the film starts off right with her like in a club, and she kind of looks like she's, you know, drunk out of her mind. She's all over the place, and there's these three guys, and they're kind of looking over at her, and they're kind of, you know, talking about how hot she is and also how, like, you know, messed up she is too. And one of the guys is like, oh, I'll make a bet that I can like take her home and stuff. And so he ends up like taking her home. And this is where like the first part, it kind of grossed me out because it had that shot of like all those men just like dancing, but it's like centered on their dicks.
Oh yeah?
Yes, they don't like hearing it and find it difficult to say. Whereas without batting an eye, a man will refer to his dick or his rod or his Johnson.
Johnson?
And I was just like, weird. That's like, I don't know, like, it kind of like grossed me out. But I think that's what it's supposed to do, right? Like the imagery. Mm-hmm. And so he ends up taking her home, and, you know, right as like he's basically about to rape her, she sobers up and she freaks him out. And she's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And that just kind of starts off the entire movie. Obviously.
Right. And yeah, that's kind of where we start. That's like the opening sequence of this movie, and it's showing that she's totally, like we already pointed out, fucking with these guys and how she's fucking with them. And then as the movie goes on, she meets Bo Burnham's character, who was a friend from med school when she was still there. And they start dating. They eventually really, like, you know, hit it off. They're like dating, serious relationship. And then she finds out that he was party to, I guess is the best way to phrase this, or at least present at the rape of her like best friend, which caused her best friend to also drop out of med school and kill herself ultimately, which is the catalyzing event for Carey Mulligan to go and manipulate all these men, which, you know, they have an inevitable falling out as a result, where ultimately Carrie Mulligan is murdered by the man who raped her friend at his bachelor party when she goes to carve her friend's name into his body after pretending to be a stripper to infiltrate the party. There's a lot of other things that happen, like people she gets back on, and we could talk about that, but that's sort of what the arc of this movie goes, is that. So, I mean, yeah, off the top of our list of five things is this is a flip the script, or this is advertised, I guess, as a flip the script revenge movie, and maybe that's why I thought, well, I guess a lot of us thought, it was going to take that vigilante kind of murder angle. And this for opening scene definitely still sets up, like, you think she's... I seriously thought she killed that guy for, like, until we got McLovin in the scene.
So it's just McLovin?
Yeah.
That's badass.
It is badass.
Really cool.
Badass, yeah.
McLovin! Yes, okay.
I just got to interject and be like, as we watch this, like, I know this actor. Who is this guy?
I did the same thing. I did the same fucking thing, yeah.
Allie just told me maybe about an hour ago. Set me straight. Yeah.
One of my friends told me the same thing. He was like, yeah, McLovin's in that. And I was like, oh my God, that's that like cocaine-addled Chuck Palahniuk wannabe guy. Like fucking read Fight Club once. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
No, he was...
But yeah, I thought that she was killing them too.
Totally. I mean, she has a book with like a huge number of people, and that was the first part that made me go, is she killing these? That's a lot of murders. And then but maybe the movie is going to be crazy, right? Like, maybe it's going to be kind of absurd. She's been killing these people. She's living at home. She works at this crappy coffee shop. No one possibly knows. There's no way to figure it out. But that's not what happens. And we can talk more about that if we want to. But Amber, what did you think of the premise of this movie, what it ultimately was versus the whole vigilanteism that we thought it was going to be?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that it wasn't really targeted, because at first I thought she was targeting people that had done her wrong, but in reality these were just a bunch of random people that she like picked up at the club. And I think for me it was a little bit confusing until we started to break it into parts. So we had like part one, part two, so on. That's where it kind of picked up for me, at least. And especially when she meets Bo Burnham's character, we start getting in a little bit deeper, because right off the bat, you're kind of just like, oh, there's this like woman. She's like kind of fucking with all these guys, but we don't really know why. And then they start to talk about Nina a little bit. Like, it was kind of almost had that creepy vibe when she was looking through photos of her like on her laptop and stuff like that, like, and basically just revisiting like, I guess, like past memories. And then also the conversation between her and her parents, which were really great.
But awkward, like, as all get out, but so
basically
well done.
Them not understanding like why she dropped out in the first place, nobody else really understanding why she dropped out. It's like nobody can remember like this huge, you know, which should have been like something that was, you know, big, but evidently nobody remembered it. It's like this big black hole in like everybody's memory. But yeah, I think that like when we get to part one, that's when it starts really like revving up. And then especially when we get to the end, which like, you know, is the climax of the story, we get like a, you know, bigger understanding of like everything. That's when all the pieces come together, right?
Yeah. So like while we're talking about the what we expected versus what we got, I think I kind of covered that in my intro, where I just initially I was disappointed. I don't think I was disappointed. I think I was just upset, like, that at every turn where things could have gone in a revenge direction, which, I mean, they did, but wherever things could have, like, worked out for her, they didn't. And she got fucked over by another man or a woman. Like, I think Madison was the name of the character. But yeah, like, it's just so real to life. Like, I think the only really redeemable character in this movie was that lawyer that was...
Alfred Molina.
Oh, Rosalie, I love this boy.
Oh my God, I love that guy in this movie.
That scene was so powerful. Holy where he shit, was, like basically begging her for forgiveness. And I thought it was really... And then, okay, so after we learned that she had the intent to have him killed...
That's what you all got from that, right?
Yeah, totally. That's what she was, because she had Alison Brie. I'm going to say she scared Alison Brie into thinking she was raped, right? Like, she wasn't lying to her.
Yeah.
And then she was totally going to have Alfred Molina killed.
Yeah, for sure.
And then it changed her mind because of his...
Can we hang on this scene for a minute? Because this is probably my favorite scene from this entire fucking film. Like, everything from the set design to Molina's performance to Mulligan's reaction, like, it was beautiful. The dead plants in the background behind Carrie Mulligan.
That was so good.
Oh my God. The, like, the table with all the shit all over it. Like, this man is living in a very nice home that is falling apart on the inside. And, like, he just went, you know, he's in, like, two shots in this entire fucking movie. And he's just like, I am going, they're going to get their money's worth out of me. And he, like, fucking owns it. I loved the entire wrench he throws in her diabolical plot of, like, I haven't slept in weeks or whatever. And... I am so horrible. Like, these are the horrible... Like, here, listen to the horrible things I've done. Let me, like, repent to you as if you're fucking God. And then, like, kneels down before her and is just like, I will never forgive myself. And, like, doesn't actually say, please forgive me. He's just literally straight up like, I'll never forgive myself. And just, like, starts crying. And you can just see, like, tears in her eyes. She's just like, I forgive you. And, like, doesn't know what the fuck to do. And then, like, she's like, you could sleep now or whatever. And he just, like, he almost falls asleep right there. And I was just like, God fucking damn. And I legitimately thought that's where this movie was going to, like, turn. And it starts to before reverting back, which maybe is the thing that made me feel unsatisfied and bothered. Because it's like, by this point in the story, Carey Mulligan has kind of starting to walk this fine line, or... We're given that she's starting to walk this fine line between, like, having a quote-unquote normal life and kind of, like, moving on, let's call it, from all this stuff, while at the same time, like, enacting her revenge scheme. But, like, this is that turning point of, like, you clearly can see her questioning, am I doing the right thing here? Like, is what I'm doing really worth this? And it was just like, oh, cool, this movie's going to turn that way. And then it goes back on itself, which is fine, but we'll talk about it obviously soon. But yeah, I loved that scene with Alfred Molina. I mean, he's like one of those few actors where I just want to be like, oh, haha, he's Doc Ock and Spider-Man 2, lol. But then it's like, he's just too goddamn good for me to be like that. It's not like Mr. Krabs.
Damn, I didn't realize that's who that was. That was Doc Ock. Anything.
It's okay. He's also if you've ever seen Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think this is like the first movie he's ever been in. He is like the Latino guide with Indy in the very beginning of the film. Yep, that's him. I think that's the first movie he's ever credited in.
He was like
a
child in
Yeah, he's young.
Wow.
Yeah. Fun fact about that guy. I don't know why I know so much about this guy.
Big fan.
Huh. Let's see. Wow.
Yeah, Cayman, what were your thoughts on, that scene, I guess, and everything? Going off what we were talking about.
I think y'all nailed it. I think it was great. Like, what a short-lived but so emotionally complex character. Because, like, I think it's, like, I think it's really easy to hate a shitty lawyer. Like, that's, like a lawyer that defends rapists is, like, really the scum of society.
Oh, yeah.
And he even explains why he was absolutely scummy to a T. But yeah, like, what, like, a powerful redemption arc in such a short amount of time. you know, seeing him there, seeing him broken apart, talking about his being on a sabbatical because he had like a fucking mental breakdown. And he was like, the protagonist was told he was on a sabbatical, and she shows up and he's like, yeah, I had a mental breakdown. I haven't slept in a week. Like I like my life is a living hell. So I'm taking what they're calling a sabbatical.
Yeah.
Which is, it like gives like a tongue in cheek irony to it. And the set design of it was amazing. You know, he lived in a beautiful, well-decorated house, but you see him smoking cigarettes inside. You see his dead plants. You see all the shit on his table. Like a guy who had everything because he was so terrible. And, like, it finally caught up to him, and he was falling apart because of it, rightfully so.
Right.
But, yeah, great scene. I thought his betrayal was awesome. You guys already talked about his like redemptive moment, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was really powerful. And the shocking thing was, as we already talked about, was seeing like seeing the protagonist's character walk outside and call off the hitman.
Yeah,
and, like, she was ready to have that dude killed like right then.
Right.
And the only reason he wasn't was because he groveled so hard. And man, just the moment of him like on his knees leaning into her crying, and like I don't know, and there's like something extra about, because like lawyers are so powerful in society, but in addition to that, he's like an older man and like physically large, like this like large, powerful, rich man like groveling in front of her in absolute emotional turmoil. It was like such a powerful moment.
Agreed. No, it was arguably probably my favorite scene of the movie was that, just beginning to end, it just worked, especially in context, it just worked so fucking beautifully. And I guess on that note, like, let's kind of like talk about number two here, in more of a broad stroke. So this was Emerald Fennell's first full-length directorial film. Thoughts on her debut feature here? Anybody?
I'm really excited to see what else she will do.
Okay.
I think she wasn't afraid to go to a really dark place and a place that would make the viewer really uncomfortable and really... it wasn't... So this film... It wasn't an escapist film at all. Mm-hmm. It was very much like, it really made you think about like what's going on in the world and how like you encounter this kind of thing every single day. Right. And I really, really liked that. Also, I want to point out, so I noticed that she was credited as an actor in the movie. Yeah. And then she came in, I was like, what was she? And came in and was like, oh, she was when Carrie Mulligan was watching the like blowjob lips makeup tutorial.
Yeah, blowjob lips.
Great cameo.
Yeah, no, I liked it because it was subtle. It wasn't so Hitchcocky and I'm like right here in your face. It's like, I'm on this video she's watching about how to make like blowjob lips.
Yeah.
All right, and that's a wrap for part one of Promising Young Woman. We didn't want to shortchange you guys since we have over 2 hours of content on this movie. And it was obviously a heavy topic for all of us, specifically for myself and for Allie, since we resonate with a lot of the themes for this movie. So we decided to split this particular podcast episode into two parts, and so be on the lookout for part two of Promising Young Woman next week. And as always, I am one of your hosts, Amber.
I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Cayman.
And I'm Allie.
And this is So What Happens Next.